While they're making their ways downstairs, if you turn with me in your Bibles to Isaiah 61, I was planning, in fact, I have it right on the front pew, speaking on husbands, the blessed marriage, husbands. But I think the husbands are doing pretty good, so I'm not going to, no. But as we began to worship this morning, God laid a scripture on my heart, especially this Sunday, where it's a Sunday of Thanksgiving. And I'd like to speak on the thought of the spirit of praise. The spirit of praise. Isaiah 61, verse 1. The spirit of the sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me, to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor. Let's bow our hearts together and let's ask God's blessing on the sharing of His word today. Father, we give You all honor and all glory and all praise this morning for who You are. You are our Creator. You gave us our life. And then for those of us who have put our faith in You, who have repented of our sins, You have granted new life. And so we praise and thank You for that in Jesus' holy name. As we've gathered together on this Thanksgiving Sunday, we pray that the spirit of praise would descend upon this church body. We pray that You speak to our hearts this morning in the holy name of Jesus through Your word. We pray for Your anointing, God, to be upon this speaker and upon every hearer, because we need to hear from You today, O God, and no other. And we ask this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. An important part of a believer's life, if you have truly come to know Christ as your Savior, you should want to, and not only should you want to, you should practice in your life the praise of God. You should be praying. You know, there's a lot of things that we do when we approach God in prayer. And one of the things that we do, especially in the day and age that we live with all the pressures and the needs that are on our lives and the needs that are on our family and upon those that we care about and the needs of our country and even now the world. You know, we've become so much more a global society where we know, at least in some areas, we know what's going on. Obviously, there's some things that we have to really search hard, such as the persecuted church that we talked about. But there's so many things, and because there are so many needs, a lot of times our prayer lives can be consumed with seeking God for answers regarding those needs, which is okay. The Bible says in the book of 1 Peter, cast all your cares on Him because He cares for you. So we should bring all of our needs to Jesus and give those needs to Him. But we must remember for what purpose that we have been created and then born again. And that is to give glory and honor and praise to the Lord Jesus Christ. Scripture says man was created for what? For the glory of God. That's why you were conceived in your mother's womb. to give glory and honor and praise to the one who gave you life, the one who was, is, and is to come. That's your purpose in life. In fact, I don't think a person can truly be happy in Jesus unless they are regularly worshiping, praising, and thanking God for who He is and for what He has done. We must do it because that's what we were created to do. And yes, there are many blessings, and we'll talk about them in just a moment, to those who practice praise in their lives. But the primary purpose, if you want your praise to be honored by God, if you want your praise to be pure before God, the primary purpose in your heart in praising God should be to give glory and honor and worship and magnify the name of Him who gave His life a ransom for us. The heart, or our motive, is so important. And so we must understand that it's our not only our privilege, but our duty to praise the Lord. That you want to be a satisfied believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Practice praise every day. Not just on Sunday morning. I know, I come in on Sunday mornings, just like everybody else, and sometimes I'm not as happy as or joyful as I'd like to be. And sometimes, you know, you just had a bad day. But let me tell you one reason why a lot of people drag themselves to church every Sunday and then get all psyched up for Jesus, if I could use that expression, and then go back home and then struggle during the week. Because the totality of their praise, or at least meaningful praise, and what is meaningful praise before God, is worship that comes from the heart. We all sing songs, and we've all done it where we've sung songs and, you know, we like the tune, or we've sung them, you know, so many times that we know them backwards and forwards, and we're just singing because that's what we're doing right now. Does God honor that? No, God, book of 1 Samuel says God looks on the heart. Praise is to be meaningful. But, you know, we come in so that we can worship God. And yes, there is a unique spiritual dynamic when we come together to worship Jesus. Two or three are gathered together, there I am in their midst, Jesus said. And so there is that unique manifestation or moving of God's Spirit when we're together. But bless God! Praise isn't just something that is scheduled for 10:15 on Sunday mornings and at 6:30 on Wednesday night. Praise is something that is a necessity every day, because that's what you've been created to do. And you'll live in greater victory if you practice praise in your life. Of course, there are wonderful benefits. Isn't it great? And of course, God actually is the giver. Amen. But when we give to God, doesn't He give back? And doesn't He give back more? You know, I think of the words of Christ where He says, you know, those who have left homes and families and things, will they not receive 70, 80, 100 fold in the life that is to come? And when we give to God our praise and our worship, God gives us so much more back in return. My voice isn't changing, folks. I'm just getting over. So please, may I give a blanket apology for the squeakiness that you might hear from time to time. Because I just can't be quiet and preach. I wish I could, especially today. But it's getting better, and I thank you for your prayers. But God gives us so much more when we give to Him, including praise. When we praise Him, the book of Psalms tells us that God inhabits the praises of Israel. And bless God, Israel in the Old Testament was God's people. And you and I today, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, we're God's people. And as God's presence dwelled upon Israel, as they praised Him, God's presence will be upon us as we praise and lift up His name. Think of the day of Pentecost, that wonderful day in Acts chapter 2 where the Holy Spirit, in accordance with Old Testament prophecy and the promise of Jesus, descended upon the church. Those 120 gathered in the upper room. And they began to speak in tongues or other languages as the Holy Spirit moved upon them. And it's interesting to know what they were saying. They were speaking languages that they were not familiar with. But because of the time of year, there were people from all over the world who spoke different languages, different dialects. And they were there in Jerusalem, and they heard. And I think this is another thing about praise. Listen, they weren't just, praise your God. And I'm not saying you have to jump. But when we praise God, we should praise God with all of our heart. And they were praising God to the top of their lungs, where people heard them speaking in tongues. And what were they saying? We hear in our own tongues people magnifying, giving glory to God. Paraphrase this morning. So if you want more of the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life, and you, not only if you want more, you need the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit every day in your life. Every day of your life, you must praise the Lord. Because God inhabits the praises of Israel. And God inhabits the praises of His church. Do you know that the practice of praise is so wonderful and so powerful and so blessed? And listen, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. There's so much when God's Holy Spirit is moving upon you, that demons flee when God's people praise the Lord. In life, there are a lot of squirrely things that go on. I think that's an old Kentucky saying. But whether it's in your home or at your job, there is stuff going on, and some of it is life, but some of it is actually demonic attacks against you and against your family and against your joy and against everything you are as a believer. Satan doesn't like you. And not only does Satan not like you, he's after you. And from Ephesians chapter 6, we see that Satan is not just against you and he's after you. Satan has declared war on you. Now, what is the goal of war? Well, John 10:10 tells us, steal, kill, and destroy. That's part of war. To occupy territory, to take from you your soul. And the enemy is at war, trying to destroy you, trying to destroy your family, trying to control things at your job, to keep people at your job away from Christ. And he is more powerful than you. Demon spirits are more powerful than you. They're more powerful than me. They're more powerful than all of us joined together. A demon spirit does not fear a nuclear bomb or a tank or a machine gun. They're supernatural. They're beyond that. But a demon spirit can not only not stand against the Lord Jesus Christ, they are fearful of the Lord Jesus Christ. Think of the man in Scripture who was possessed by a legion of demons, 1,000 at least, or 10,000, a lot of demons. And when they and no one could bind this man, no one could control him, everyone was afraid of him, just let him live out in the graveyard. Good, let him stay there. But when he saw Jesus coming, he began to shrink. Let me tell you, a demon is not afraid of you. But he's afraid of the Jesus within you. And when you praise God, demons not only tremble, they flee. I recount to you a story from the Old Testament, book of 1 Samuel. It's an account of a king, the first king of Israel, a mighty king, most powerful, probably at the time one of the most powerful people in the world. His name was Saul. Saul was a godly man, or called by God, and at one time a godly man, but Saul did not follow God. He did not serve God. He walked away from God. And as such, he opened his life up to oppression from the enemy. And the Bible says an evil spirit would torment him. He'd be tormented in his life. And I don't know why. It just shows you how, it's another sermon for another time, how spiritually bankrupt Saul was. Instead of turning to God himself, instead of calling upon God himself, instead of praising God himself, he just sit there. But then he noticed there was a young man whom the Spirit of God was upon, who could play the harp skillfully, but not just skillfully as far as a natural sense, spiritually skillfully. And we know what he was playing. He wasn't just playing any old tune. In fact, his song book is in the middle of the Bible. It's called the Book of Psalms. And his songs are in, they're not all from him, but a lot of his songs are in there. And he would come and he'd play the harp and sing praise unto God. And when he did, even though Saul wasn't praising God, that demon spirit that was oppressing him would leave. We, as believers, don't have to take it on the chin from the enemy. Amen? We don't have to take it on the chin. Because we've got Jesus in our lives. And at the sight of Jesus, at the presence of Jesus, demons flee. But if we do not praise Him, how can we expect Him? If we are not fulfilling our calling of glorifying God, how can we expect His powerful presence in our lives? You don't like what's going on at home? Praise God at home. Turn off the TV or the internet or whatever. If you can't turn it off because there's someone in authority, well, praise God over it. Go to another room. You'll be surprised. They'll turn off that junk on there. Bless God. But we must praise. So praise is very important. It's what God has called us to do. And when we do that, God is pleased. He rests upon us. Demons flee in the name of Jesus. Of course, the Holy Spirit, when He's on us, is anointing for services. There's so much. I mean, we could just spend, this could be a 3-month sermon. But the problem is, we don't praise as much as we should. Luke 17, chapter 11. One reason why we don't praise. scripture about the 10 lepers. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." 10 lepers, all received a miracle that day. Leprosy was not something that could be cured. If you were a leper, you were an outcast. These 10 were traveling together. They met Jesus. And they cried out to Jesus. Hallelujah. Even being ostracized, even being sick, they could not be kept. They could not be kept from the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. They knew he could heal. And so they called out to him, "Master, have pity on us, have mercy on us." Jesus told them to go to the high priest, and as they went, they were healed. And they were amazed. But only one came back to praise and thank God. And you know what's interesting about that? The one who came back was a Samaritan. He wasn't even a Jew. The Jewish, or the 9 that kept on going, were Jewish. They were serving. How do we know they were serving God, practicing Jews? They wanted to go to the temple. They had been disqualified or kept from worship in the temple. So they wanted to worship God. But when they were healed, they didn't return back to the Lord Jesus Christ. Only this man who was a Samaritan, who didn't believe God, or at least believe God the way that the Jews believed God. Why? You know, doesn't that make you think? Why? Why wouldn't they? It should have been the 9 who went back and the Samaritan who just kept on going. He probably wasn't even going to go to the temple. Go back to Samaria and see his friends there and worship how they worship. I may be wrong, but I believe the reason, or at least one of the reasons, is that he took, or the 9 took their healing for granted. You know, they heard about everything that's done. They served God. They knew all the things that God has done before. They probably received mercy and grace and different things along the way and in their lives as far as people trying to help them and people trying to give them glory. Or not give them glory, but you know, people giving them alms and things of that nature. And they just took it for granted or felt that they were entitled to it. Don't we do the same thing today? You know, I mentioned this before. In these past 6 months, we've had issues with power. You know, how many of us, we turn on the light switch or we turn on the faucet? Thank God for water today. God for electricity. God for heat. Why don't we do it? Well, because we've always had it. We don't think that another raging storm can come through and take out our power. Some for weeks. We don't think about Christians around the world who don't have nice, comfy, a warm, hopefully it's warm, warm too, with padding. They're sitting on planks if they're sitting at all. Some are standing. We don't thank God, you know, look at my car. It's got a scratch on it and, you know, this and that. My CD player doesn't work. And so we don't think. We take it for granted. In fact, we do. I'm speaking of myself. We have a sense of entitlement as far as what we should have. today. Not just for the material things. I mean, that obviously it's something that we need to survive. That's why we practice communion on a regular basis, so we never forget. And we always remain appreciative of what Jesus Christ has done on Calvary. Maintain that practice of praise, that spirit of praise in our lives. We've got to be a people who remind ourselves what God has done and refuse to take the miraculous, and every day is a miracle, for granted. Sometimes you just got to shake yourself and say, you know, I can't believe in my life how blessed I am in every way, and thank God for it. One other thing that I'd like to mention, and there's actually two, but I'd just like to share one this morning, is dealing with the spirit of heaviness. Once again, our text from Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty for the captives, release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for display of His splendor. Jesus came to transform our lives. And part of the transformation, according to this scripture, is not only a transformation of our spirit going from dead to life. Because the Bible says in Ephesians 2, before we came to Christ, we were dead in our trespasses and our sins. But when we came to Jesus, we became alive in Him. But also the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ and the ministry of His Holy Spirit is one of joy, which enables us to praise God. I mentioned earlier in the message, and I want to revisit this once again, this last point this morning. One of the other chief thieves of praise in our lifestyle of worship to God is that of sorrow, mourning, and despair. You know, looking at life, our God in America is the dollar. Essentially, it is. You know, people literally will sell their soul for a buck. And we're seeing today that money cannot buy happiness. Amen. And there's just so much in the way of pressure in the world today. And, you know, just because we've accepted Jesus doesn't mean we don't go through the hardships of life. We do. People still get sick. People lose their jobs. People have family troubles, troubles with their marriage, troubles with their children. There's pressure at work. Who here, you know, in fact, if you accept Jesus as your Savior, you're asking for more trouble and more sorrow in your life. You'll be hated by men for my name's sake, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5. And all this, if we allow it, and if we don't practice praise, can overwhelm us In fact, undermine us. Despair can keep us from praising God. If you live in despair, and you allow despair to anchor itself in your soul, it will keep you from praising God. But Jesus came to give us this. Beauty instead of ashes. The oil of gladness, the symbol of the Holy Spirit, instead of mourning. A garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. Two things that's saying here. There is, when we're overcome and overwhelmed, and if there's someone here who says, I've never been overwhelmed, even after accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior, even after being filled with the Holy Ghost, I dare say you're a liar. Because we all go through tough times. We all struggle. We all get overwhelmed in life. God didn't say He'd keep us from problems. He said He would walk with us through those problems. And give us the ability to continue to praise Him. And that ability comes by seeking the power of God's Holy Spirit upon our lives. The oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of the spirit of despair. Two things. Number one, receiving joy when we're troubled. We need a supernatural. It's all right. I can shout over him. He's hearing me go on. He probably wants to join in the fun. But something supernatural has to happen. There's nothing beautiful in ashes. You see a pile of ashes. Oh, how beautiful that is. I'm going to take a picture. It's ugly. But God, because He's God, can make it beautiful. And He does so with the oil of gladness, which is the power of His Holy Spirit. You want to live in joy. You want the power of God. You want the ability to praise the Lord Jesus. Seek the Holy Spirit. That means when you're wrestling with despair and it is a fight, that's the time we need to pray and tell our body in the name of Jesus that we're going to pray through this. One of my favorite scriptures I quote often because I think it's just so pertinent and powerful in our lives. From 1 Corinthians 14, he who prays in an unknown tongue edifies or builds himself up. Start praying in the Holy Ghost. If you're struggling with despair or have any other issue regarding your heart and your spirit. And secondly, make the choice to praise God. Last part of verse 3, a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. How did you get clothed this morning? Did all of a sudden your clothing appear upon you, or did you make the choice? Sometimes I've seen some people in the combinations and it looked like, no, I'm just kidding. We have to make the choice to praise God. And I will praise God despite the way I feel. And what that is an exercise of our faith. I believe that the spirit of praise, the garden of praise, is going to come upon me even though I don't feel like it, even though I might not want to. By faith, I'm going to praise God, and I know God is going to supply the rest. In Jesus' name. And when we do, the Bible says when we put on the garment of praise, we replace that spirit of despair. I'd like to ask our musicians to come. I'd like to ask everyone to stand. And I'm going to, before they begin to play, I'm going to lead you in a little old song. that Henry probably doesn't even know. That synopsis, summarizes this message. You old timers will know it. It has to be an old. It has to be an old Pentecostal song because I can't see it singing another verse. But it goes something like this: Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lift up your sin praise. Pray in the Spirit and with understanding. Oh, magnify the Lord. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lift up your voice to God. Pray in the Spirit and with understanding. Oh, magnify the Lord. Praise and prayer go together. And with those things, the Word of God by your side, you shall not fail, you shall not stumble. In the name of Jesus, God will always lift you up. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's pray together and let's ask God to make us a people of praise. Not just a people who think about all the good things come Thursday morning before we dive into that turkey. What do I thank God for? Oh, yeah, I thank God every day. May we be appreciative in the name of Jesus. And may we be people who have the spiritual heart and integrity to wrestle with despair. When despair tries to overcome us, it's almost like it's personified here in the Scripture. Almost, and I'm not saying that you can't be demon-possessed, but I know the enemy would like to oppress your mind, remind you of all the bad that's going on, and move you to a place of despair. Resist him. He will flee, the Bible says. Pray in the Spirit. Praise God. I will pray with my mind. I will pray in the Spirit. I will sing with my mind. I will sing with the Spirit. Pray and praise in the Spirit and with understanding. And you'll live in the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ in every way. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much once again.